In celebration of the fall of Singapore, 100 million Japanese people joined with Premier General Tojo in offering resounding cheers for His Imperial Majesty the Emperor and for the victory of the Japanese armed forces when Premier Tojo made a brief nationwide radio address at noon today. Today, Wednesday, is the first official celebration day since the outbreak of the present war on Greater East Asia. In Tokyo alone, 150,000 persons representing 25 organizations participated in the gigantic celebration events. Shonan or Singapore. 2 days after the historic capitulation of the British troops in Singapore, the Japanese land, air, and naval forces started their advance into Singapore amid the welcome of the rising sun Tuesday morning. Simultaneously with the entry of the Japanese land forces, a powerful fleet of the Japanese Navy entered the Singapore Naval Harbor in close formation with the naval ensigns waving in the bright sunshine. The War Office on Wednesday today announced that Lieutenant General Osamu Tsukada, who was Vice Chief of the Army General Staff, had been named Chief of Staff of the Japanese Army in the Southern Region under General Count Terauchi, the Supreme Commander of the Imperial Japanese Army in the Southern Region. The War Office indicated that the Vice Chief of the Army General Staff is now held by Lieutenant General Moritake Tanabe. Singapore has been turned into a city of war prisoners. It is filled with 15,000 British, 13,000 Australians, and 32,000 Indian soldiers who threw away their weapons. Singapore is crowded with these 60,000 prisoners of war. Interesting to note is the feeling of antipathy that exists among these three groups of men. The British officer gave his opinion as follows, we quote, "The Australian soldiers did not cooperate with us. This is one of the most important causes for our defeat. And the army from the British home country are greatly dissatisfied with this point. The Australians are uneducated and the only repeated failures. The Indians are nothing but coolies." Unquote. On the other hand, the Australian officer expressed his dissatisfaction with the Britishers in the following way. "The British soldiers are extremely unpleasant, sending us way out to the first front despite the fact that we are not acquainted with the geography of Malaya. The Britishers used to stay in the rear. The greatest casualties were inflicted upon us Australians. The Indian soldiers are much better than the British in that they do not indulge in foolish reasoning." In striking contrast to what was said by the British and Australian officers, the Indian soldier remarked as follows. "In fact, we were helplessly dragged into this war. The British soldiers did not give us the proper treatment to which any man is entitled. The Australian soldiers drink heavily and are always thinking of enjoyment. It is hard to tell how much the Malayan people were tormented by the Australians."
We continue with their news. Lisbon. 7 tankers have been sunk off the coast of Venezuela. 200 Indian residents in Tokyo issued a manifesto Tuesday urging the entire Indian people right to launch a campaign for the independence of India. The manifesto, signed by Surat Reddy Bose and 200 other Indian patriots, states as follows. "We, the Indian nationals, have fought for the past 50 years against the British oppression with the object of making India for the Indian and India for Asia. Despite thousands of personal sacrifices, our efforts so far failed because we have had no armed support. The present war of Greater East Asia has given us a golden opportunity for realizing our century-old objective. Fellow countrymen of India, take advantage of this divine support and liquidate all of India's past scores with Britain. In accordance with the spirit of Buddha and Islam, rise up to grasp the truth and as preached by Mahatma Gandhi," the statement declared. From the Philippine fence, Upon learning of the fall of Singapore, as announced by the Imperial Headquarters, Japanese men and officers, the report revealed that more than 20 electric printing press is being used to grind out paper money. All of the 200 yuan and 500 yuan currency in an effort to conserve on the paper supply. The advance in the price of goods is expected to continue now that Chongqing is virtually shut off from its usual supply route. Istanbul, as a result of several attempts of British soldiers to break into the Egyptian National Museum at Cairo to carry away their treasures, the Egyptian Ministry of Interior ordered that the civilian guard of the museum should be replaced by the regular police and soldiers of the Egyptian army. It is reported here from Cairo Monday. Consequently, the Egyptian National Museum is now guarded by 3 Egyptian officers, 6 policemen, and 70 soldiers of the Egyptian army, the report stated. That, ladies and gentlemen, just about sums up the news bulletin.
Another batch of messages from the American civilian internees from Guam Island. Starting off today with a message from Seeley, Reverend Alexander Seeley, Catholic missionary priest, age 29, civilian from Guam. His home address, Long Island, New York. Here's the message. With the kind permission of the Japanese authorities, I wish to address this message to my 2 sisters in Newport News, Virginia, also to my aunts and uncles in Long Island and Winchester, Massachusetts. After the taking of Guam, I was sent to Kobe, Japan. All fathers with me are well. No one of us was injured in the struggle at Guam. I'm well taken care of here in Japan. There is nothing to worry about. Pray to God that we will soon meet in the future. Father Alexander Seeley, Capuchin Priest. The second message comes from Vaughn, Robert John Vaughn, age 25, employee of the Pan American Airways at Guam Island. He's home address, Harper, Utah. A message goes out to his parents, Mr. and Mrs. R.J. Vaughn. My dear parents, I have been given this opportunity to let you know that I am safe in Japan and in good health. We have sufficient food and shelter, and exercise is given twice daily. There is enough reading material. On our arrival here, it was rather cold, but we were given warm clothing and are becoming adapted to the weather by now. Please do not worry, as my health is excellent and the treatment fine. Give my regards to the rest of the family, and please notify Mrs. Anne Bergera of my whereabouts and good health. Goodbye now, dear mother and father, and again, I ask you not to worry, as I'm sure I will make out all right. Your loving son, and signed, Bob. The third and last message today comes from Oppenborn. Fred B. Oppenborn, age 34, civilian from Guam. Home address, 244 Northwest 30th Street, Miami, Florida. The message goes out to Mrs. Fred B. Oppenborn at the same address. Dear Carolyn, Marilyn, and Nella, I hope you are all well and that you are being good girls. Your daddy thinks of you constantly, and our getting together again seems to be the most important thing in the world. Give my love to Mother and Dad, and Kathleen and Buddy. Ask Mother to save me a piece of her last batch of fruitcake. Don't worry, I'm in good health. I hope that an exchange of nationals will be arranged, and that we may get home very soon. God bless you, and sorry, Fred B. Oppenborn. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes the batch of American civilian internee messages